Our scripture reading for this morning is 2 Kings 11. This passage is an appropriate section to study for Father's Day. It is a historical record of King Joash and the priest Jehoiada, which shows a strong contrast between being a good leader and being a poor follower. In our day, we need strong biblical spiritual leadership, especially from dads. This passage shows that those characteristics of spiritual courage and is a challenge to all dads. This passage also shows us how family and family leadership work together to accomplish the will of God. Please follow along with me as I read 2 Kings 11 from the NASB Bible. When Athaliah, mother of Ahaziah, saw her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, who were being put to death, and placed him in his nurse in the bedroom. So they hid him from Athaliah, and he was not put to death. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord 6 years, while Athaliah was reigning over the land. Now in the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of the hundreds of the Karaites and of the guard, and brought them to him in the house of the Lord. Then he made a covenant with them and put them under oath in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. He commanded them, saying, "This is the thing that you shall do. 1/3 of you who come in on the Sabbath and keep watch over the king's house, 1/3 also shall be at the gate, sir, and 1/3 at the gate behind the guards, shall keep watch over the house for defense. 2 parts of you, even all who go out on the Sabbath, shall also keep watch over the house of the Lord for the king. Then you shall surround the king, each with his weapon in his hand, and whoever comes within the ranks shall be put to death. And be with the king when he goes out and when he comes in." So the captains of hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And each one of them took his men who were to come in on the Sabbath with those who were to go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. The priest gave to the captains of hundreds the spears and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of the Lord. The guards stood each with his weapons in his hand, from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, by the altar and by the house around the king. Then he brought the king's son out and put the crown on him, gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, "Long live the king." When Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people in the house of the Lord. She looked, and behold, the king was standing by the pillar, according to the custom, with the captains and the trumpeters, and all the king beside the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew trumpets. Then Athaliah tore her clothes and cried, "Treason, treason!" And Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of hundreds, who were appointed over the army, and said to them, "Bring her out between the ranks, and whoever follows her, put to death with the sword." For the priest said, "Let her not be put to death in the house of the Lord." So they seized her, and when she arrived at the horse's entrance of the king's house, she was put to death there. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they would be the Lord's people, also between the king and the people. All the people of the land went to the house of Baal and tore it down. His altars and his images they broke in pieces thoroughly. They killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. He took the captains of hundreds and the Karaites and the guards and all the people of the land, and they brought the king down from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guards to the king's house. And he sat on the throne of the kings. So all the people of the land rejoiced and the city was quiet, for they had put Athaliah to death with the sword at the king's house. Joash was 7 years old when he became king.
Everyone is different, but every individual can do their best. One of the movies that I really like, not a Christian movie, but it's a true story, a true documentary, called Hoosiers. It's about the 1952 Indiana State High School Boys Basketball Championship. I thought dads would like this. where in those days, in 1952, all teams played each other. There was no Division I, Division II, Division III, etc. It would be like Dalton playing Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary in the state championship. And it would be like that. In fact, in the actual record, if you watch the movie, they changed some of the names. They called the high school Hickory. It wasn't really called Hickory, but it had an enrollment of 64. And Muncie, Indiana, the team that they actually played, had an enrollment of about 2,500. And Oscar Robertson played for that team. He played in that game, in case you want to check it out and look it up. I really like what the coach says to the boys in the locker room before one of the playoff games. He says, if you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential to be the best that you can be, then I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game. In my book, we're going to be winners. I like that. Dads, and someday dads, if you put your effort and concentration into living to your potential for God, to be the best that you can be, then it won't matter what others say, because according to God, you're a winner. You are a leader. That's our contrast here. Leaders and losers. A leader knows what to fight for and what to compromise on. A loser compromises on what he should not and fights for what isn't worth fighting for. Every day is a battle for life, and it is very important that we are fighting for the right things and not wasting our time with trivia. A leader goes through a problem. A loser goes around it. A leader says, I'm good, but not as good as I could, as I ought to be. A loser says, well, I'm not as bad as the rest. A leader looks up to where he is going. A loser looks down at those who have not yet achieved the position he has. A leader respects those who are superior to him and tries to learn from them. A loser resents those who are superior to him and tries to find fault. He thinks, I should be there. Pretty prideful. A leader is responsible for more than his job. A loser says, I only work here. That's not my job. So these chapters that we're going to focus on this morning, 2 Kings 11 and 12, 2 Chronicles 23 and 24, I think bear all of this out. It's going to come out because through the lives of Jehoiada the priest and King Joash of Judah, we're going to be able to extract four differences, the differences between leaders and losers. And on this Father's Day, dads and someday dads, I think you'll be encouraged to be a leader. Now, what I'd like to do is see how you did remembering the Bible reading that you just heard a little bit ago, and also during the week, review things a little bit. You might remember, boy, I sure hope I can do this right. You might remember that Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, after he recovered from his bout of depression, God said to him, now I want you to go and anoint Elisha to be prophet, and Hazael to be the king of Aram, and Jehu to be the king of Israel. And so then, and we found out later, we looked at this in 2 Kings chapter 9, it was Elisha who gets that assignment and sends a guy to Jehu and anoints him the king of Israel. And right away, Jehu does what he's supposed to do. He goes and he destroys Jehoram, the king of Israel. And in the process, you might remember this, he kills Jezebel according to the prophecy of God through Elijah. But you might remember this too. He did something he didn't really need to do. He also kills Ahaziah, the king of Judah. Remember that? And the relatives who came up to see Ahaziah, he killed all of them too. And so Athaliah, you can see her name up there, she was his mother, the queen mother. She saw her opportunity, as you heard in the scripture reading, and murdered her grandsons. Now, when you think things are bad today, that's just really hard to imagine. that you murder your grandsons. I think she was an ancestor of Margaret Sanger. But that's just amazing to me that someone could be that evil. And she thought she got them all, but she didn't. The baby, namely Joash, sometimes he's called Jehoash, he was hidden by his aunt, Jehosheba. It's interesting, in 2 Chronicles, her name is actually spelled a little differently, Jehoshabeath. And so instead of me saying Jehoshabeath all the time, I'm going to shorten that to B. So she was Joash's Aunt B, okay? And together, she was married to Jehoiada the priest. Oh, good, it's up there. It's cut off here, whatever reason. She was married to Jehoiada the priest, and for 6 years, you remember hearing that, they hid Joash from Athaliah. And so during that time, Jehoiada enlists the help of the military elite and has them promise on oath to protect and support the true king, who is Joash. And so when he turned 7, they take him and they take him out to the pillar of the temple, of Solomon's temple. Jehoiada brings out the crown, and he brings out, did you notice that in 2 Kings chapter 11? I got to go back and find it here. In verse 12, just wondering if you noticed this, 2 Kings 11:12, that he brought the king's son out and put the crown on him and gave him the testimony. What is that? He gave him the testimony. What is that? Well, that same phrase is used in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 16 to refer to the tablets in the ark of the Ten Commandments. And so whether it was the actual tablets or not, or just a copy, Jehoiada gives this 7-year-old boy, puts the crown on his head, and gives him the Ten Commandments, or probably a copy of the entire law, to remind him that you're not the real king. You're just the mediatorial king. The real king is in heaven. So then he stations the soldiers, you might remember this, I think it was read, in 3 parts, there near the temple, and from the palace area into the temple, and also near that entrance from the palace area that goes into the court of the temple. And that circle on that map represents standing by the pillar. He's standing there with Joash. And so all the trumpets sound, and the people shout, "Long live the king!" And they're clapping their hands. And of course, Athaliah hears that. And she comes running out and says, "Treason, treason!" Well, she's actually the one that committed treason. And Jehoiada says, "Put her to death." Now, he had instructed the soldiers too, which, by the way, if you look at all the chapters, they were surrounding Joash. And he instructed them, he said, "Now, if anybody tries to break through, you put them to death." And when she comes and she tries to do that, they cart her off to the horse gate, according to 2 Chronicles 23:15, and put her to death there. In 2 Kings chapter 11, it said the entrance for the horses. So then they all go over to the temple of Baal, right? And they put Matan to death. He's the priest of Baal there. And so that's as far as we read. But there's a lot more. If you read the rest of the chapters, then you also know that somewhere between 10 to 13 years later, Jehoiada gives Joash 2 wives. And when he's about 30 years old, he wants the temple refurbished. If you've been reading the passages for the week, you know this. And so he and Jehoiada get together. They get workmen to do the work on the temple. People come. They give offerings to do that. It gets done. And the temple is in good shape. God really blessed Jehoiada. We're told that he lived to be 130 years old. Now that's pretty impressive at that time, because remember King David, he died at 70. And Solomon probably in his 60s. So almost twice as long he lived. And after that, however, if you've read all the passages, Joash turns against the Lord. In fact, he even has the grandson of Jehoiada stoned to death when Zechariah the prophet comes and rebukes him. And then the life of Joash doesn't end well, because God sends the Syrians against him and they wound him, he gets sick, and finally he ends up being assassinated. Those are the facts, the inerrant facts that we have in the only book, of course, that God has written. And you look at all those facts and you say, at least I do, what does God want me to learn from this? So in light of Father's Day, I know we can look at the historical record and focus on four differences between leaders and losers. And the first one is this. We're going to focus on a difference in commitment. In 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verses 10 to 12, and also in chapter 24 and verses 17 and 18, it tells us that Aunt Bea and her husband Jehoiada the priest hide Joash for 6 years. That impresses me. I mean, can you imagine coming home and Bea says, hubby, here's the king. And he's a baby, right? What have you done? You've put all our lives at risk. You know how Athaliah is. She killed all the other kids. What were you thinking? How are we going to keep him quiet when he cries? I mean, we'll be found out. And he didn't respond like that, did he? I always notice the things that aren't written. He didn't respond like that because he was committed to the Lord. And when you're committed to the Lord, if you're a leader, then you're willing to make personal sacrifices. A leader does what is right, even at personal costs. A leader makes commitments, a loser makes promises. Leaders have dreams, losers have schemes. Leaders say, I must do something, and losers say, you know, somebody should do something about that. Leaders are part of the team, and losers are apart from the team. Now, Jehoiada, I think, was a tremendous example of personal sacrifice. I mean, think about it. For 6 years, they're hiding. If they get found out, they're dead. She'll kill them just like she killed. If she killed her own grandson, she's not going to bat an eye killing them. That's not going to be an issue. He, I think, is the epitome of Psalm 15:4. It's there on the screen, which says, he swears to his own hurt and does not change. That's a tremendous statement. And I want you to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 12. He was hidden with them in the house of God 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. And then, forget the chapter division, read verse 1 of the next chapter, chapter 23, verse 1. Now in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself. I sat there for a long time and I looked at that and I thought, well, how did he do that?
I feel stronger today. I think I'll do something.
I don't think that's it. He strengthened himself. Well, the context is key, right? How did he strengthen himself? He strengthened himself by enlisting the help of the military elite. He had to go to these captains of hundreds, Azariah, Ishmael, Azariah, Maaseiah, Elishaphat, and entered into a covenant with them. Now, can think about that a little bit. Hey, Azariah, what would you do if one of the king's sons was still alive? Well, I'm committed to protecting the house of David. I would protect and support him. There's still a descendant still alive. Now think about the risk, right? You're seeking to enlist their help and support because this is not going to be easy to overcome her and to put him back on the throne. and he had no idea whether they would join him or not. I think, it doesn't say this, but I can imagine he was praying. He was a priest, right? Lord, I need your help. It took putting your life on the line. Tremendous application for dads and future dads. God, this is what God asks of you. He commissions you to put yourself at risk, to make personal sacrifices for God, for your family, for His church. I mean, it could be as small as canceling something. You know, I really wanted to go golfing, but this came up, and so that needs to be done. Or it could be as big as telling the government, no, I'm not going to do that, even when they threaten to imprison you. John Bunyan did that. We have numerous historical examples of men who did that. And if you fail at that level, well, you could be on your path to being a loser, because I want to show you what Joash does. A loser rationalizes and goes his own way. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 17. But after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. They abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this guilt. Why, I ask myself, why did he do that? I think the answer is this: because he wanted to. That's why. He wanted to do this, and so he does what he wants to do. Now you might be thinking, boy, that's really tough to understand. I don't think it's that tough to understand. Moms and dads, they raise their children for years and years. The child goes out on their own, and then they do what they want to do. Because now they're out from under the authority of their parents, and they say, this is my chance. I think it's happening to our country, right? We have politicians now who are doing what they've been wanting to do all along, just kind of coasting and hiding along. But in a Christian home, parents who think that their children are fine spiritually, just because they're going through the motions, well, they came with me to church all their life. Joash went to the temple all his life. He participated in the sacrifices. He did what Jehoiada the priest told him to do, and then he ends up like this. They're simply going through the motions like he did, but their heart hasn't really changed. And so Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is right or not. And that's the second difference that I want to focus on. It's a difference in a code of conduct. Jehoiada acts consistently with his commitment to the Lord and to the Lord's people. But Joash acts consistently with what he had been wanting to do for a long time. We just read that in those verses. Jehoiada, on the other hand, as a leader, takes action and refuses evil. I really do think that he committed his plan to prayer. He committed it to the Lord. He strategized wisely with those military commanders who are around him. And he refuses evil because, I mean, think about his options. He didn't just have to risk himself to try to enlist their help, put Joash back on the throne. I mean, he could have approached Athaliah, right, and said, you know, we have the king. You didn't get one of the boys. Well, bring him here and I'll kill him. Let's talk about this. We can negotiate. And he didn't do that. When I was at conference, by the way, this is a by the way, I don't even have it written down. Pastor Gordy Harmon was preaching from Jude, of course, earnestly contend for the faith, about apostates, and how he was almost drawn into what happened in our fellowship a number of years ago. And he said, it's so important that you don't compromise. Well, Dr. David Whitcomb was there selling Dr. Whitcomb's biography, the book. And after that message, I went over to him and I said, you know, a professor said to me many years ago, no compromise. He said, I wonder who that was. But as I talked to him, I was totally amazed that he sounds just like Dr. Whitcomb and acts like him, but that's a by the way. But the point is, no compromise. Jehoiada didn't even think, well, he may have thought about that, but he didn't go that route. His code of conduct is completely different. He's going to refuse evil and go the right route in order to honor God and do what's right. He could have kept Joash alive and probably pacified Athaliah and eliminated death from himself and his wife from the picture, but he didn't do that. And you know what happens often when people do compromise. It blows up in their face and it doesn't go well anyhow. Tremendous application here, I think, for dads and future dads, because you'll often be tempted to compromise the truth. If you expect to win in temptation, to overcome temptation when it arises, then you need to make a commitment to the Lord before the time comes. You have to be like Jehoiada and be committed and have a code of conduct that's consistent. Because when the time comes, not if, when the time comes, and it will come, then you'll be ready. You'll say, no, I'm going to do what's right. That's not what a loser does. A loser rejects the word of God. Joash turned his back on God. Look at 2 Chronicles again, chapter 24, and verse 19. We read verses 17 and 18. He listens to the officials. They abandon the house of the Lord, verse 18. And so what does God do? Verse 19. He sends prophet after prophet. Notice the word prophets is plural. He sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. Though they testified against him, they would not listen. That's what losers do. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 30. It won't be long after this that this prophet arises. God raises him up, a prophet in the court of Judah. And this is what he writes in Isaiah chapter 30, beginning at verse 8. Now go, write it on a tablet before them, and inscribe it on a scroll that it may serve in the time to come as a witness forever. So here it is for you and I as well. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophet, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words, prophesy illusions, or we'll cancel you. Oh, no, that's not there. Oops. But it's the same thing. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Lord, thus says the Holy One of Israel, since you have rejected this word and have put your trust in oppression and guile and have relied on them, therefore this iniquity will be to you like a breach about to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose collapse comes suddenly in an instant. Whose collapse is like the smashing of a potter's jar, so ruthlessly shattered that a sherd will not be found among its pieces, to take fire from a hearth or to scoop water from a cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, for thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you are not willing. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one man, you will flee at the threat of five, until you are left as a flag on a mountaintop and as a signal on a hill. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice, not social justice. Justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. See, that's the problem when you reject the word of God. And Isaiah lays it out so eloquently. he certainly was the prince of the writing prophets. His phraseology and words are excellent. So if you're not listening to God, a leader takes action, refuses evil, a loser rejects the word of God, and it demonstrates this third difference that I want us to see, and it's this. There's a difference in connection to God. Jehoiada's connection to God is a whole lot different than Joash's. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 15. Now when Jehoiada reached a ripe old age, he died. He was 130 years old at his death. I wonder why, when you read that, did you say, why did God have him live that long? Why was that necessary? I think the answer is in verse 2 of the same chapter. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Ready? All the days of Jehoiada the priest. And so God gave him a long life for the benefit of the nation, for the benefit of his people, and for his own honor. God knew what a leader does. A leader faithfully responds to God's word. And Jehoiada did that. Now you might be thinking to yourself, you know, Pastor Ike, you read chapter 24 and verse 2, but you should also read verse 3. Okay, so let's do that. Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he became the father of sons and daughters. Well, here's what I'd like to say about that. Sarumo kikaro chiru. Even monkeys fall from trees. Okay, Jehoiada was a great leader, but he wasn't perfect. Okay, this was not a good idea, was not a good thing to do, and I think it's insightful that the chronicler writes this down, but he doesn't say anything about God condemning it. That doesn't mean it was right, but it does mean that God allowed it. And of course, the question arises, right? Why? Why does God allow it? Well, I think there's at least three reasons. One is the fact that the New Testament tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 and verse 11, that these things are written down as examples for us. They were written down for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So we should take it to heart. And I think also because there were far greater issues to focus on. Jehoiada should have been far more concerned about the heart of Joash instead of his physical comfort as the king. And I also know this. I know it's true of you and me and anyone who puts faith and trust in Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, what's the rest of that verse say? Covers us from all sin. What a tremendous verse. The blood of Jesus Christ covers us, takes away our past sin. No. Our present sin, when we know all our sin, past, present, future. That was true of Jehoiada. Now, as a believer, have you ever sinned since you've been a Christian? Okay, nobody's hands up. You're all liars then. Okay, there's one. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from those sins. That would have been true of Jehoiada too. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, we don't sin. It doesn't mean that. But God is gracious. Well, if God forgives me of my sin, I guess I can just sin as I please, right? Oh, God forbid. Remember Romans chapter 6, verse 1? God forbid. Because when you do sin as a believer, your fellowship with the Lord is broken, even though your sins have been forgiven in terms of a right relationship with God. All of that is to say that was true of Jehoiada as well. But I think his bigger problem, his bigger mistake, was that he thought that things were right because Joash was going through all the motions and following him. He did what was right all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And I think parents, dads, wow, that's a big mistake. A big mistake. If you think that your children are okay with God simply because they're going through the motions, that's a huge mistake. You need to ask them. You need to talk to them. You need to share the gospel with them constantly until the Lord takes you home, telling them, sharing with them about Jesus and who he is and what he does. Because in that case, even if a child or even an adult child rebels, you'll have done all that you could and have no regrets about it. A leader faithfully responds to God's truth, but a loser, he rebels, or she rebels against God. Now, we read earlier that Joash abandoned the house of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 24:18. God sends prophet after prophet, verse 19. Look at verse 20. Then the Spirit of God came on Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest. Now, the Hebrew word that's translated son doesn't always mean direct son, just like it says in the book of Daniel, Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Well, he wasn't the son of Nebuchadnezzar. He was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. So it can mean son, grandson, great-grandson. And I think here, because of the length of time that he lived and because of what Jesus says in chapter 23 of Matthew, this is probably his grandson. And he stood above the people and said to them, "Thus God has said, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him to death in the court of the house of the Lord. This is what Jesus says about it in Matthew chapter 23 and verses 33 through 35. "You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, so that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah." You see here it says the son of Berechiah, which fits if he's the grandson of Jehoiada, "whom you murdered between the temple and the altar," which also fits the verse that we read in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 21. So, what a tragedy. What happens to rebellious children? I mean, was Joash really a believer? It's hard to know. We'll find out someday. But rebellious people, rebellious children, it could be death, or it could be as Jesus is going to describe it, or as he did in Luke chapter 15. He goes away, and the Spirit of God convicts his heart, and he returns. We call it the prodigal son, right? So I think it's really important, dads, that you and I, we think ahead, we plan ahead. We say, how am I going to handle this? What should I do? How can I fit in with what God wants me to do? Well, that brings us to the fourth difference. I think there was a big difference between Jehoiada and Joash in terms of how they calculated their life, how they measured their life and what they were going to do. What are you doing with your life? Jehoiada made choices. I mean, think about it. He had to do a lot of planning to get the military elite to join him, a lot of prayer, a lot of dependence upon God, a lot of commitment to do what God wanted him to do. Is that what you're doing in your life? Like Jehoiada? Because if you do, this is what leaders do. They leave a legacy of righteousness. And that's what he did. The verse that stands out to me the most from 2 Chronicles chapter 24 is verse 22. "Thus Joash, the king, did not remember the kindness which his..." What's it say? "Father..." Well, no, whoa, time out. Jehoiada's not his father. Jehoram was his father. But remember during the call to worship? Just because you have the title father, or you're a dad, I mean, you might be a birth father, you might be an absent father, or you might be a committed father, and one who's walking in obedience to the Lord. That was Jehoiada. And the chronicler, by the Spirit of God, says, his father, Jehoiada. I remember years ago, Arthur and maybe Nathan too, or Jesse, they were complaining. They were arguing with Nancy about something, and one of them said, you're not my mother. And I said, she is more of a mother to you than any other woman has been. It's true. Because when you adopt children, you may not be their biological mother or father, but you're their functioning parent who's really involved in their lives. And that was certainly true of Jehoiada. Think about it. What kind of legacy will you leave? Because a leader leaves a legacy of righteousness, but a loser suffers the rebuttal of God. Now, I kind of gave you the summary of what happened with Joash after all of this, that he turns against God, he takes the advice of those men, he murders the grandson of Jehoiada, and later on, verse 23 of chapter 24, 2 Chronicles, now it happened at the turn of the year that the army of the Arameans came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem, destroyed all the officials of the people from among the people, and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. So God allows the Assyrians to come against him as far as discipline goes. They severely wound him, and as a result, he's deathly ill. Verse 25 says, when they had departed from him, for they left him very sick. His own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the son of Jehoiada, the grandson, the priest, and murdered him on his bed. They assassinate him. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David. But they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. They didn't respect him enough for that. It's the rebuttal of God. Someone has said that a leader never gives up, and a loser gives up easily. God brought discipline on Joash, and it's a tremendous example, instruction for us in terms of the differences between those who lead and those who don't walk with the Lord. Now, I want to show you something, and you have to put on your thinking hat, okay? About a guy who was a real leader. At 7, his family was forced out of their home and off their farm. At 9, his mother died. At 22, the company he worked for went bankrupt and he lost his job. At 23, he ran for state legislature in a field of 13 candidates and he came in 8th. At 24, he borrowed money to start a business with a friend. By the end of the year, the business failed. The local sheriff seized his possessions to pay off his debt. His partner soon died, penniless, and he assumed his partner's share of debt as well. So he spent the next several years of his life paying it off. At 25, he ran for state legislature again, and this time he won. At 26, he was engaged to be married, but his fiancée died before the wedding. The next year, he plunged into a depression and suffered a nervous breakdown. At 29, he sought to become the speaker of the state legislature, but he was defeated. At 34, he campaigned for a U.S. congressional seat representing his district, and he lost. At 35, he ran for Congress again. This time, he won. He went to Washington and did a good job. At 39, when his term ended, he was out of a job. There was a one-term limit rule in his party. Can we bring that back? At 40, he tried to get a job as commissioner of the General Land Office, but he was rejected. At 45, he campaigned for the U.S. Senate representing his state. He lost by 6 electoral votes. At 47, he was one of the contenders for the vice presidential nomination at his party's national convention, but he lost. At 49, he ran for the same U.S. Senate seat a second time, and for the second time, he lost. Have you figured out yet who this is? Well, at 51, Abraham Lincoln became the 16th president of the United States. He was the leader. Oh, would that God would give us more men like that. You see, a leader never gives up. He never gave up. A loser gives up easily. So as we think about Jehoiada and Joash, we may not become or be like Abraham Lincoln, but we can be a leader like Jehoiada, a true father who led his adopted son in paths of righteousness for the Lord's sake and left a legacy of righteousness. It's up to you, dads, and someday dads, to do that. Will you be a leader for the Lord? And moms, there's tremendous application on Father's Day for moms. Moms, will you assist dad to be the man of God that God wants him to be? And prepare your sons to be the men that God wants them to be. So on future Father's Day, you can say, that's my son. I still pray for him. Well, Joshua said it like this. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Make a choice. Be committed. Whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, this is commitment. We will serve the Lord. Will you do that, dads?